So the point I'm trying to make is that the new birth is a supernatural experience. So we are born supernaturally. Now, let's move on to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You see, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's supernatural. Receiving the Holy Spirit is part of the new birth. Because it says, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Therefore, if a person is born again, they must have the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Walls, praise God. He has the Spirit of God in him. Now, there's another experience we'll talk about shortly. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that, "But he that is joined unto the Lord," if a person has joined themselves to the Lord supernaturally through the new birth, "he is one spirit." We are one spirit with the Lord. Our spirit is joined to the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. That's supernatural. Now, why am I saying this? To say that we are in the Spirit if we're in Christ, and we have a supernatural connection with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's supernatural. And you know, sometimes a Christian will say, "Well, the Lord told me this," or "the Lord prompted me to do this," or "the Lord spoke to my heart and said this, to do such and such." And then you'll hear some unbelieving news commentator say, "Well, I think talking to God in prayer is a good thing. But when somebody says he's talking back to me, I stay clear from that person." Well, isn't the Lord supposed to talk back to us?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's not strange. But they'll make you look like some kind of weirdo, dummy, whatever. Psycho, that's the word. And that's the way they paint of you. Any number of things. That's exactly what they're trying to paint the picture of a Christian being who says, "The Lord instructed me to do this. The Lord led me to do this." But you know, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow, because they know my voice." So his sheep recognize when it's his voice. He's supposed to talk with us. It says in Acts chapter 1 that before Jesus ascended to heaven, that he gave commandments to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. He didn't even communicate with them face to face. It was through the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to have personal discourse with the Heavenly Father and with Jesus through the Spirit. And that's supernatural. That may sound strange to some Christians, but it doesn't sound strange to me at all. Or I think it doesn't sound strange to the folks in this room. There's an old famous hymn most of us have probably sung at one time or another called "In the Garden." Anybody remember that one? We sang it many times at the Baptist church. And we've been singing it for several generations. I think it was written in 1912. And the chorus goes, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Wow, love that song. Love those words. And so, God is supposed to talk to us. That's right. That, by the way, is normal Christianity, for God to talk to you. Hallelujah. That's normal Christianity. Praise God. And I should also remind us that when we hear the Lord tell us to do something and we obey, then supernatural grace is released as we do it. Remember, Mary told the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." Well, they did. And what happened? He made several hundred gallons of fine wine. Because they did what he said to do. Did the servants do it? No. The power of God did it. The grace of God did it, because Jesus said, when Jesus was out on the water walking, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." He said, "Come." He told him, "Come on out here." And he stepped out, crawled, climbed out of the boat, got on the water and walked. until he got scared, until he took his eyes off Jesus. But the point is, when Jesus tells you to do something and you do it, you are obeying God. You're supposed to obey the Lord. Okay, I'm getting off on a side trail, but that's part of it. You could kind of boil it down to hear and obey. That's what the Christian life is really supposed to be. Hear him tell you stuff and do it. And somebody says, well, brother, the Lord never talks to me. Praise God. Well, go spend some time with him, and he will. You might have to spend some time with him. He's always talking. Praise God. We're just not always listening. And it also says he speaks with a still, small voice. You know what still, small means? A whisper. Hello, I'm right here. Come on a little closer so you can hear me. I don't know if it's coming out on the tape or not, but anyway. Go spend some time in the garden, and he'll tell you whatever you need to know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we're going to move shortly to the baptism, or for a short time, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize with water. There's one coming who's greater than me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And let's just look at Acts chapter 2, verse 39, just to touch on this for a second. Remember the day of Pentecost? The Spirit came and they all spoke with other tongues. They went out in the street. Peter preached. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, etc., etc. He was saying, this is that. And this was the first time I had ever seen this experience. It was just brand new. But he said, this is that which Joel told us was going to happen. And it says in verse 39 of Acts chapter 2, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Whoever the Lord our God shall call, this promise for this experience is for them. You can have this experience. You know, I was saved for about 4 months before I ever heard anybody speak in other tongues. It was when I went over and visited Martinsville Christian Fellowship, and they were just a bunch of wild fanatics, I tell you. I mean, all of them just spoke in tongues all the time. How you doing, brother? Karabasati. You can talk normal now. I can't understand that. But I remember the first time I heard somebody speak with tongues, I wanted it. I wanted it because I'd heard other people say that this is a promise the Lord has in the Bible for anybody who's a believer. And I wanted it. And the thing was, they prayed for me that day. Do you want to receive the baptism and hold it? Yeah, sure, pray for me. All of them gathered around, shakata basata baha. One said, let go. The other said, hold on. One said, put your hands up. The other said, put your hands down. Okay, I'll get it right in a minute. Just keep on hollering tongues in my ears. I know But see, I didn't know how to receive. It took me a while because there's so many misunderstandings and wrong doctrines about, oh, that's of the devil, brother. Don't even go near it. Oh, really? How is it of the devil? It's in the Bible. Well, I don't know, but it's just of the devil. Somebody heard somebody speaking in tongues in a country way off in a third world country, and they were cursing God in tongues. Oh, really? Were you there? You heard that happen? No, I heard somebody say that somebody said that it happened. Well, see, if the devil imitates tongues, why isn't it in the Bible somewhere where he imitated tongues? Why didn't all that stuff happen in the Bible if it can happen? Because it can't happen, praise God. I mean, there are weird people everywhere, demon-possessed and everything else. I mean, I'm not saying that can't happen. Somebody could do stuff like that, but all these wrong doctrines. You'll get a devil if you try to speak in tongues. You've got to be careful. You'll get a devil. So anyway, I went without the Holy Spirit for almost a year before I finally got one good teaching on it, which knocked down all of the root roadblocks in my mind. Like, well, you know, you got to understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues. Well, no, you don't. It's in other tongues. You don't understand it. Well, what good is it? Well, the Lord showed me that later on, what the purpose of it was. It's a supernatural prayer language that we need to have to pray above our understanding. We can only pray so far with our understanding. When it gets to the point that you've prayed all you can, your understanding, then praying in other tongues is a way to just let the Spirit pray through you. And it says that he prays according to the will of God. We know we're praying the will of God. So it's such an important thing for Christians to have. But I've heard all sorts of things. One denominational pastor, told one of his congregation members, says, well, Jesus never talked about speaking in tongues. Why do we really need it? He didn't think it was important enough to talk about. We don't really need that. Or here's another one. Don't ever speak with tongues. We're not ever supposed to speak with tongues unless there's an interpreter in the room. Well, how would you know there's an interpreter if you don't speak in tongues? I mean, is he going to come in with a red hat that says interpreter? Hello? I'm going to try that one time. Go into the denominational church, put on a red hat with interpreter. Say, okay, I'm here. Go ahead. It's all right. According to your doctrine, since I'm here, it's okay for you to go ahead and speak in tongues. Anyway, all of these silly things people come up with is because it's meant to be a private thing with God. Now, we do speak out in tongues in worship. We sing in tongues. Paul said, I do that. And I'll sing in spirit and I'll pray and sing with the understanding. I'll do both of them. And so it's primarily not really meant so much for the public meeting unless it's by tongues and interpretation, which is a gifting of the Spirit. And it says, do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret. See, he's talking about the gift ministry of tongues and interpretation. Does everybody function in tongues and interpretation? No. But he said, you may all prophesy. And these signs follow believers. They shall speak with other tongues. See, it's something that every believer is supposed to have for their own prayer language. And I think most of us know that, but it's good sometimes to talk about it because people will try to talk you out of it. Oh, I just don't believe in that stuff. Well, okay. It doesn't make it false just because you don't believe it. My pastor at Baptist Church, I went back and told him I'd gone to this church and they were speaking in tongues. I said, I was seeking that. He said, well, I believe that's biblical. I know it's in the Bible. And he says, and I'm open to it if God ever wants to baptize me like that with tongues. It was a blessing, but the point is you'll never receive it by being open to it. But he was a man of God, but he said he was open, but you'll never receive it by being open. You've got to desire it. The Bible says desire spiritual gifts. Have a longing for them. And others say, well, yes, the early church did speak with other tongues, but all that passed away with the first apostles, don't you know? I mean, our pastor has been teaching that for three generations. That must be true. Well, no. Where do people get that idea? It's from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just look at a verse in that, verse 8. Paul talks about charity or love. He says in verse 8, charity or love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. There you are, brother. Tongues have ceased. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
But knowledge hadn't ceased.
Knowledge hadn't vanished away, has it? For we know in part, that is, our knowledge is in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Won't need it anymore. The word here for perfect is a word that means brought to an end, full grown, of full age, perfect. How many in here are of full age in the things of God? Okay, I don't see any hands. That was the right answer. The belief that tongues have ceased is right beside the notion that knowledge has vanished away. Has knowledge vanished away? No. And has that which is perfect come? That's the question. What was the point I was trying to make here? Have we come to full age in the things of God? Have we come to perfect maturity in the Lord? Have we gotten over into heaven yet where we see Him face to face? None of that has happened yet. When will we see Him face to face? When shall I know Him even as I am known? See, that scripture in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. then when that which is perfect is come? When will I see him face to face? When shall I know him even as I am known? When that which is perfect has come, when I am of full age, full grown and complete, probably when I get to heaven, most likely. But until then, we need prophecy, we need tongues, we certainly need knowledge. And I would love to talk more about this subject because it's one of my favorites. But I'm really just trying to point out that this is another facet of the supernatural relationship we have with God. As a supernatural people, the relationship we have with the supernatural Father God of heaven, praying to him above our understanding, the ability to pray to God above our understanding with other tongues, that's supernatural. Hallelujah. Don't take the supernatural away from me. I like all of it. Now, there's the dark side of the force. We talked about it earlier. There is supernatural that is not good to be involved in, and we talked about that. We'll look at that a little bit more, maybe. But anyway, I do want to encourage people who do not have that experience to desire it, to seek it, to get in the Bible and find out about it. You don't know what you're missing if you don't have it. Praise God. For those who are already speaking tongues, use it every day. Don't let the gift lay dormant. Spend time praying in tongues every day. I do that when I first get up, maybe at least 30 minutes while I'm having my first cup of coffee. Sometimes after my third and fourth cup, whatever. But no, at least 30 minutes or so. Just let yourself drift in the Spirit while you're praying, and let God speak things to you. And keep that, because you're praying into your future when you pray in other tongues. Now, that's all I'm going to say about other tongues for now, but this brings us back to divine healing, which has got me started on this in the first place. Why couldn't we believe better? Why couldn't we have more faith? Why couldn't we accomplish more with prayer? And so we're back to divine healing, and let's just look at Mark chapter 16. Very familiar scripture. Most everybody here could probably quote it. Mark 16:15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that actually choose to believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's supernatural. They shall speak with new tongues. That's supernatural. They shall take up serpents. Supernatural serpents, devils, demons. We were talking about that this morning when I was getting ready to practice. And about the devil and demons and dragons and all that stuff. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what every believer should do. This word signs, these signs shall follow them. The word signs means wonders. It comes from a word that means these wonders shall follow them that believe. Every person who believes upon Christ shall have one, ought to have wonders following them. That's supernatural. See why I wanted to call this message, that's supernatural. We may go after that after all, because I've said it about 40 times already. Divine healing is supernatural. It operates upon the natural, the physical, but it is of the Spirit. It originates in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural by nature. Why am I saying this? Because of the immense pressure in the world and even in the church to put aside any belief in the supernatural. Much of the church has let go of any belief that even hints at the supernatural. We've got all the doctrine we need right here, brother. We don't need any fresh revelation. It doesn't say in the Bible we need fresh revelation. Oh, shut up. You're giving me a headache, man, just talking that nonsense. Anyway, praise God. And what does that do to the church? It makes Christianity another dry, dead religion. And I don't think any of us want that because we're too used to having life. Praise God. Life stirs you up. It quickens you. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And that's what we like. When you get a taste for that, you can't go for something else. Amen. Well, conclusion. I want to finish up by pointing to the solution to the dilemma. The dilemma of being in a relationship with a supernatural God while living in a world that wants to remove the supernatural from our thinking. Romans 12, verse 1 says, this is the Apostle Paul, "I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, the Jewish audience Paul was preaching to here in this Roman church, they understood the idea of animal sacrifices. That's what the Levitical law was about, bringing your animal, whatever it was you're going to offer, giving it to the priest and offering up a sacrifice. That's how they worshiped God back in the old days. That's the Jewish religion. In other words, give your body to Him as a living sacrifice, or that it's a sacrifice that remains alive. You've sacrificed this body to Him, but yet you're still alive. You haven't been killed to do that. And serve Him, or separate yourself from this world to pursue Him and serve Him. That's what becoming a living sacrifice is about. Separate yourself from this world and serve God. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to or fashioned after this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." One thing I found out about that phrase, perfect will of God, that word means complete. There's a time when there's different ways the will of God manifests in our life, but there's a time when it's completed in our life, when His will becomes manifested in our lives. That's what He means by the perfect will of God, when His will becomes real in our life. Anyway, that's just a side thought. It was kind of interesting. And that you may prove that and so forth. The word for transformed here is the word metamorpho. Metamorpho-o is actually how you pronounce it. It looks like metamorpho when you just read it right there. "Do not let yourself be fashioned according to the platform of this world, but be changed into another form. Be transfigured. Go through a metamorphosis by the complete renovation and changing of your reason and your perception." Hallelujah. He says to go through that change, go through a metamorphosis. And how do we do that? Well, we do it, of course, with the Word of God, by immersing ourselves into the Word of God to such an extent that the Word of God becomes our reality. This expression came to me, the world of the Word. There is another world in this Word than the one we live in this world. And it's a lot different than the one that's in this world. And the way it works is a lot different than the one in this world. By immersing ourselves into the Word of God, have you ever wondered why there is such a trend these days towards stories and movies that deal with medieval times and witches and warlocks and magical spells and curses and so on and so forth? Praise God. Well, it's because there is a hunger. There is a craving within every person for the supernatural. That's built into our DNA. We're built that way. We were made to fellowship with God. We are spiritual beings who have a hunger for spiritual things. And if we can't find the true spiritual things in the church, in the Word of God, then we'll settle for the counterfeit or the dark side of spirituality, witchcraft, occultism, etc., etc. We'll go down the dark side. There's a similar passage of Scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24. And we're closing here now, so just hang in there a couple more minutes. Ephesians 4, 22, "that you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, there's a new man within each of us. If we're born again, there's a new man in us whom we need to bring to the outside. We need to get that new man who's in there. And he's been there from the day we got born again. He's been in there. He's been in there the whole time. And the whole thing of growing in God is letting the man that's already in there come to the surface and begin to manifest through our lives. So where are we? Praise God. And how do we do that? Bring him to the outside. We do that by being renewed in the spirit of our minds. How? By feeding on the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is spiritual or supernatural food. Or we might say, supernatural. It's the only book of its kind in the entire world. This is the only book that'll do what I'm talking about. And it's good to read other books, don't get me wrong. But what you're going to get is people's revelation they got from this book. That's okay too, but it's not quite as strong. You see, the Word of God is spiritual food, or we might say supernatural. It's the only book in the world that'll do that. This book is not the Word of God, by the way. The Word inside of it is the Word of God. And the Word inside of that Word is even a deeper Word. You see, it contains the Word of God. The Word of God is not really a book, but this book can lead us to the Word of God, which is contained here. Now, the written Word is contained too, and it'll lead us to the living Word by which it was inspired. Okay, now don't get offended on me now. I'm not saying this is not the Word of God. It is the Word of God, but it's really the Word in there that's the Word. And that Word leads us to the living Word. That's what we're after. Hallelujah. And the Word of God is supernatural. It tells us things that are quite different from the things the world tells us. That's why we need to immerse ourselves in the Word and renew our minds and let the Word become our reality. You see, it's just that, you know, we don't have the results we want because this is not our reality to the extent that it should be. Now, does that happen overnight? Of course not. It's a snail-like process, a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day. But the more we continue to feed on the Word, to ponder it, to meditate in it, the more it becomes the world we live in. If we spend a lot of time in this Word, then this will be the world we live in. And the world can't convince us otherwise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, I think I made my point, praise God. So let's close here. Amen. Let's stand together if we could and just repeat this after me. I am a child of God. I am born of God by the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. I offer myself to God, a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, my reasonable and logical service. And I feed on the Word of God that I may grow thereby. I grow up in the knowledge of God. I do not conform myself to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of the mind. I am a supernatural being. I have a relationship with a supernatural God. And I live a supernatural life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's give Him some praise. Hallelujah.